On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. And it says on my call screen that we now get to talk to some wise ladies. So thank you for calling in. Beth Stark, good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate you calling in today and always happy to hear from you. And Catherine Long, good morning. Thanks for checking in today.
Good morning, Mark.
Beth is a lifestyle initiative manager at Wise Markets and a registered dietitian, part of the team. I think I'm counting up to seven if my current count is correct.
And yep, got it.
Is that it? Okay. Wow. Okay. And Catherine Long, healthy living coordinator, registered dietitian, also a key member of the team at Wise Markets. As young as she is, most of the dietitians are young, so you're going to be a senior member of the team soon, Catherine. What do you think about that?
That's right. I have actually, yeah, it's been almost 8 years with Wise now.
Well, good
for
you.
I can't believe it.
We are so lucky to have you, so thank you so much for that. Let's talk about, I've always been asking you what's in season. Last month we talked about apples and, you know, pumpkins, those kinds of things. What is still in season now?
Yeah, so fall is, I mean, believe it or not, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and Beth and I were just talking about that. We can't believe it. And so fresh cranberries are really coming into season now, and really, we can only get fresh cranberries for just a few months out of the year, really October through December, but the good news is they freeze really well. So you can get them while they're fresh, put them in the freezer in the bag that they're in. One of the great things about them right now is that they're a good source of vitamin C, and we're all trying to stay healthy and keep our immune system strong, and we know that vitamin C can help with that. And they have such a bold flavor, and they pair well with so many things. In the magazine, there's actually a recipe for cranberry orange muffins, and they just look so amazingly delicious. So as the weather starts to chill a little bit, we might want to get in the kitchen and get baking some nice warm treats. So that would be a really great one to try. And other flavors that pair with cranberries, almonds, chocolate, cinnamon, ginger, pumpkin, and walnut. So all kinds of really fall-type flavors.
Well, am I missing the boat? I really don't have cranberries top of the mind. Whenever I think of anything, I think of a cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving. But they are enjoying widespread usage and usefulness and value beyond what I'm thinking.
Oh, yes. I was on oceanspray.com, and they have hundreds of recipes, and breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, snacks, side dishes. They have a roasted cranberry quesadilla recipe that I was like, wow, I really want to try that. So it's like cranberries, brown sugar, there's some orange zest in there, and cinnamon. So like those are the flavors that pair really well with the cranberries. And then you spread some cream cheese on a tortilla and put that mixture on top and, you know, make your quesadilla. And just such a unique way to use cranberries. And I think you're right, Mark. A lot of people think, you know, cranberries for cranberry sauce, but there's so many other things that you can make out of cranberries.
All right, well, the cranberry recipe that you have in the Healthy Bites magazine looks simple enough, so maybe I could even follow that. And a lot of folks are making simple muffins at home on a regular basis, so there's not a tremendous amount of added complexity there. So that is in season. Anything else in season at this moment?
Yeah, you know, so one other thing, just speaking of vitamin C and thinking about how we can support our immune system in different ways, grapefruit is really in season now, and citrus, you know, other types of citrus start to come into season, you know, starting in January. You know, but grapefruit, I always think of grapefruit, you know, back to when I was much, much younger and would spend days with my grandma, and she would always eat grapefruit, and I would always think it was so tart, and it just wasn't, you know, something that I felt was palatable. But the ruby red grapefruit in particular has that much, like, sweeter flavor, and I just love the vibrant, like, ruby red color of it, which actually contributes a powerful plant nutrient called lycopene. some folks just associate lycopene with like tomatoes and you know different types of red tomato products, but lycopene you know really is in high levels in grapefruit as well. So some things to do beyond just kind of sectioning it and eating it, you know, with a spoon. Like again, I think back to like the piles of sugar my grandma would put on grapefruit. The ruby red again, you know, with its different flavor profile, you can use it in baking recipes. You could use the juice and the zest to make like a homemade marinade or vinaigrette. You know, mocktails are kind of a thing right now, so people are looking for different ways to just enjoy maybe a special beverage that's alcohol-free. So grapefruit juice, fresh squeezed, would be awesome in, you know, maybe a mocktail with some, like, sparkling water, a little twist of the, you know, the skin there, kind of, in, or the peel in the beverage and so forth. But yeah, there's a lot you could do with grapefruit.
Well, I haven't been to a Wise Markets in over 20 hours, but one of the things that I know that's there are boxes, the plastic boxes where you get to buy pre-cut up grapefruit. So you really have a great reason there, and some of them are fairly small, so to at least try it. So, yeah, revisit grapefruit. I think that's really sound advice. I probably haven't had any grapefruit in a while, and I think I would try that again. Well, we just switched the clock, so we're enjoying sunrise back in the early morning hours where it belongs. The trouble is, what is it, pitch dark at 5 p.m. or so? That's a little bit hard to take. What can we do about this? This is not something that registered dietitians shy away from, this idea of talking about seasonal affective disorder and the early evening that we have now.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, me included, it's really hard for me when it gets dark so early. It just kind of makes you tired. And there is a reason for that. So when we have those shorter daylight hours, we're just exposed to reduced sunlight. And reduced sunlight in the wintertime can actually lower your body's production of serotonin. And so serotonin is this neurotransmitter in your brain that helps to regulate your mood and actually boost your mood. And so also, when the shorter days and the longer nights, your body will also might produce more melatonin, which is called the sleep hormone. So that makes you feel tired and you have less energy. So what we want to do is really try to boost that serotonin in our brains. And there's a couple ways we can do that. And one is exercise. And all those, kind of they call them those feel-good chemicals that kind of give you that boost of energy after you exercise. That can help improve your mood. And, you know, even walking or, you know, maybe walking over your lunch break while it's still daylight out, because, again, that sunlight is what's going to help boost your serotonin. So we want to try to get outside as much as we can, and also staying connected. So, you know, definitely staying connected with friends and family is more important than ever now, you know, because now it's COVID plus the shorter daylight hours. And they always say that laughter is the best medicine. So, you know, try to get together with friends and have some fun, even if it's virtually. That's a really good way to do it. And lastly is trying to stick to your regular sleep routine, because kind of avoid that temptation to go to bed early just because it's dark outside and you might feel tired. I know I've definitely been feeling tired earlier in the evening, but I'm trying to keep myself busy and trying to go to bed at my normal time still.
Now, in your podcast, not the most recent ones, but the one before that, you talked about mood-boosting food. Do those start to factor into this discussion?
Yeah, oh, yeah, certainly. I think just like, you know, kind of keeping your normal sleep routine, keeping your normal, you know, eating pattern is certainly recommended, and including, you know, some of the specific foods we talked about there were, you know, blueberries, like brightly colored different types of fruits and vegetables, you know, chocolate. And be mindful not to overdo the caffeine. So if you are feeling sleepy, you know, later in the day, you might be tempted to, you know, make another cup of coffee or drink something that's caffeinated, but ultimately that might work against you, you know, when you're trying to fall asleep. So yeah, definitely check that episode out if you haven't. We talk about a lot of the benefits just of, again, eating a well-balanced diet and eating, you know, frequent meals and snacks throughout the day, because a lot of our mood is associated with blood sugar, which, you know, when that's really fluctuating or when you're feeling hungry because you haven't eaten, that certainly puts a damper on your mood and you don't feel like your best self. And speaking of blood sugar, you know, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in their next segment. But our latest episode does also talk about the importance of blood sugar control, you know, for someone with diabetes and without diabetes, because it's really important for all of us to make sure we're making those right food choices to keep our blood sugar levels stable.
All right. We'll dig into that when we come back on our next segment at 7:40 this morning. We'll have a segment talking about diabetes and blood sugar for everybody, I think, would be the subtitle there. Well, Beth, you've talked about this, or Catherine just talked about it, but you've also mentioned it over the years. Exercise, a certain level of sociability with other individuals, including just someone in your home, and regular sleep patterns. That seems to be the same shtick that really cures a wide range of ailments.
Right, yeah, it kind of just comes back to the overall, like, lifestyle habits that can be beneficial for a lot of different reasons. And, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. A support system never hurts and certainly does help through any type of, you know, circumstance, you know, as well as just taking care of yourself and, you know, giving yourself a little bit of kind of gentle love and care and, you know, that type of thing.
Well, thank you so much for those updates. We're going to come back. I'm going to pop you on hold, so you'll be standing by. But when we come back with the registered dietitian, we will talk about Diabetes Awareness Month. Everybody having the ability and, to some extent, a need to regulate blood sugar. And we'll talk about the very latest podcast, the Healthy Bites podcast, and the very latest Healthy Bites magazine that's out there. I'm reading the Kids Bite page right now, so enjoying the mango mania there. So that's always fun. We'll continue with Elizabeth Stark and Catherine Long from Wise Markets, registered dietitians at 7:40 this morning. So much appreciated. It is currently 34 degrees at WKOK.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We're back on with the registered dietitians from Wise Markets, Beth Stark, Lifestyle Initiative Manager and registered dietitian at Wise Markets, and Catherine Long, Healthy Living Coordinator and one of the registered dietitians at Wise Markets. We started the conversation, this idea of Diabetes Awareness Month, but that everybody should make at least a cursory effort to observe their blood sugar and then maybe be very careful about it if necessary. So, Diabetes Awareness Month, what do we know?
Yeah, so that's what we kind of, that's what November is celebrated as, is Diabetes Awareness Month. And it really is a serious disease where your blood sugar levels are above normal. And the scary part is that, you know, one out of four people don't know that they have diabetes. And the problem is that when that blood sugar or glucose stays in your blood for too long, it ends up damaging nerves and blood vessels, and over time can really lead to some problems. And you don't necessarily feel that your blood sugar is high over time. So that's why it's important to go to your doctor and get that fasting blood sugar screening, and they can, you know, kind of tell you, you can see where you're at. And according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, they put some numbers out for 2020, you know, versus 2015, and the incidence of diabetes, unfortunately, are still rising. About 10% of the population of Americans has diabetes, and about 35% has pre-diabetes. So that means your blood sugar's creeping up a little bit, but it's not enough to be diagnosed with diabetes. And there really are things that you can do, steps that you can take to help keep your blood sugar down so you don't end up, you know, getting diagnosed with diabetes.
I'm assuming you should exercise regularly, stay connected with your friends socially, and get plenty of sleep.
You got it. Always works.
Oh,
yes.
I thought so. What else?
Yeah, I mean, some of the key risk factors, and specifically for type 2 diabetes, are, you know, if you're 45 and older, if you have a family history of diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, have a low level of HDL, which is the good cholesterol, or a high level of triglycerides, that you've had a history of gestational diabetes. So that's, you know, for women when they're pregnant. If you're not physically active, so right there, if you're not physically active, Mark, you addressed that one already. If you are at an unhealthy weight, and if you have a history of any, like, heart disease or stroke. You know, and again, a lot of these things are controllable and or manageable. So that's, you know, I think when it goes back to, you know, healthy eating habits, being active, and taking care of yourself to help mitigate your risk, you know, of this condition.
And how can you be aware of your blood sugar? You talked a little bit about that in the first segment.
Yeah, so just a little bit of kind of like, here's how it works. So when you eat carbohydrates, that is what affects, that is what will increase your blood sugar. So protein and fat won't increase your blood sugar. So when we're talking carbs, we're talking bread, crackers, pasta, you know, fruits and vegetables have carbs. There's a ton of foods that are sources of carbs. So when you eat them, they're broken down into glucose, and that's what is absorbed into your bloodstream. So when your blood sugar increases, your pancreas will release insulin. And so insulin is kind of like the vehicle that takes the glucose from your blood and takes it into your cells, where your cells use it as energy so they can go around your body and do everything that they need to do inside your body. So whenever you have diabetes, whether type 1, type 2, or pre-diabetes, something about the insulin is not working properly. So either your body's not producing enough, your body's not using it correctly. So that's why the blood sugar remains high, is because the insulin isn't moving it into your cells. So when you're eating carbs, you know, the type of carbohydrates you eat and how much is going to determine how it impacts your blood sugar. So in our podcast, the latest podcast, we talk about this. So say, for instance, for breakfast, you have a donut, which is mostly carbohydrates and sugar. There's probably a little bit of fat in there, but it's really going to increase your blood sugar quickly, and versus maybe you have whole grain toast that has some peanut butter on it. So that's more balanced. There's a source of fiber in those carbohydrates, so that's actually going to slow the rise in blood sugar. So it'll rise more slowly, it'll fall, you know, more slowly. It's just, you'll feel a little bit, it's more sustained energy versus having the donut.
All right, well, I'm intrigued. Where can I get other details that relate to monitoring my own blood sugar and being careful to make sure that I'm not pre-diabetic?
Right, that's a great point. And I think if anything is taken away from this segment, because we've shared a lot of helpful information, but if you have not undergone a regular health screening, and that includes your fasting blood sugar as well as your cholesterol numbers, because you see that some of them are very well connected with your risk factors for diabetes, you know, definitely get your appointment scheduled and go in, you know, do that testing so you know. For one, you might be, you know, in great health and you may have no concerns, but then you have a benchmark, you know, or two, you know, maybe you have a higher than normal level that really needs to be addressed for your own benefit.
All right. Well, any place to get a lot of information other than the Healthy Bites podcast that just came out?
Yeah, if you just go to the American Diabetes Association website, they have a ton of information, and they actually have a risk quiz on there, and you just answer a couple questions. It takes less than a minute to do that, and they will help you figure out if you are at, you know, low, moderate, high risk for diabetes.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to do that. Check that out. Really sound advice for everybody. And a lot of 20-somethings probably think they're invincible, but by the time you get to 30, you really got to start to monitor this. And just be aware of this science of monitoring and knowing your blood sugars and what happens if you don't. And, of course, exercise. Stay connected and get regular sleep.
Sound it. That will help everything.
Thank you. That really is true. I hear that from almost every expert that gets on the phone here. All right. Well, you have a couple of activities that are coming up where we can learn more about some of these things. Virtual workshops. We certainly miss the opportunities to meet the dietitians in the Wise Markets. But what else is coming up?
Yeah, you know, really, again, back in the summer, we launched these virtual programs. So if you haven't known that, definitely, you know, visit our Wise Markets Facebook events page, you know, for November. So in addition to kids cooking and baking classes, you know, for November in particular, just, again, in recognition of Diabetes Month, we have a whole host of different classes that address that condition. So we've got virtual store tours with our dietitians. We have some different classes that address how to eat and manage your blood sugars over the holidays. Different swaps you can make for better blood sugar control. We have some really great and new classes that involve cooking with the dietitian, so that you would cook alongside a dietitian from the team starting around 5:30, and by the time you're done, then you'll have dinner and can sit down at the table and enjoy your meal. So that's a really fun interactive class that's brand new this month, and they're offered every Tuesday. And I can't remember now if it's 5 or 5:30, but check the schedule for that information.
5:30.
5:30. But yeah, definitely a lot of different things for, you know, folks of all ages, and we've gotten some really awesome feedback. So if you haven't participated, check that schedule out. And again, all of these classes are free of charge.
And we go to wisemarkets.com to find out about those, so we can get all kinds of information there. There's no personal appearances by the dietitians that are happening now, but there's tons of information already on the website. The podcasts have lots of information, and we just invite folks to make sure that they get connected with all of this that you are trying to do out there. I did check out the Kids Bite page in the new Healthy Bites. Thank you for sending that to me, Catherine. Very much appreciated. Tell us about anything that really is for the whole family, and especially kids.
Oh, yes. We love that you love the Kids Bites page in our magazine. But yeah, we always include that in every magazine, because really, it's important to get kids, you know, thinking about cooking and, you know, kitchen, you know, just how to cooking skills that are going to last them a lifetime. So we love to put that Kids Bites page in there, and this time it's a mango and yogurt waffle cone parfait. And what's really helpful is there's some tips in there about how to cut a mango, because a lot of people aren't so sure about that. There's kind of that long, skinny seed in the middle, so that's included. But yeah, we love including that page in the magazine.
All right, well, thank you so much. How can we monitor everything that the Wise Markets dietitians are up to?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you can always access the magazine, the latest edition of the magazine, at healthybites.wisemarkets.com. And I'd really direct you to the Wise Markets, you know, Nourish Your Life Facebook group for all things dietitian, you know, content related. And Catherine does an awesome job at putting out really relevant information on there. And again, for our event schedule, I would really encourage you to check out the Wise Markets Facebook events page, where you'll see, like, you know, programs and events across the entire chain, but specifically all of our dietitian events that are coming up too. And you can literally click right from there, link to the registration process, and you'll be ready to go in minutes.
And the Wise Markets Healthy Bites magazine is at the stores now. Just another 30-second glimpse of what's in the magazine.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, we cover some different ideas for, you know, maybe your small holiday gatherings that are coming up. The dietitian team always contributes a couple different comments on different topics in the front part of the magazine. So we talk about our favorite ways to, quote, healthify comfort foods. You know, we're all eating more comfort foods, so we give you some easy solutions just to make it slightly better for you. Yeah, it tastes just as good. We have some really awesome ways to use holiday leftovers. So if you're left with maybe unused cranberries for your holiday spread, and or you have extra turkey the next day or days after, some really great ways to use up those items so they don't go to waste as well.
Holidays? What holidays are coming up?
Gosh, I don't even know. I mean, it is November. So we've got, yeah, Thanksgiving, you know, some different topics on there. And actually, I do want to not miss this one, but we have three recipes that are for 30 minutes or less in the kitchen that are all focused on eating with diabetes. So these are higher fiber types of recipes. You know, they have a great amount of protein, so they're really well balanced to help manage blood sugar control. So those three are in the center of the magazine, and again, only 30 minutes or less to prepare them.
That's a centerfold we can all get behind. Well, thank you so much. Very much appreciate that. Thank you so much, Beth and Catherine. Thank you both for checking in today.
Thanks, Mark.
And that is Elizabeth Stark, Lifestyle Initiative Manager and Registered Dietitian at Wise Markets. Catherine Long, Healthy Living Coordinator and a Registered Dietitian from Wise Markets. They're part of the team of 7 Registered Dietitians in the Wise Markets Corporation.